Welcome to the Millennial Reset Podcast, stories of everyday millennials that are redefining success and happiness. Those that have decided to face those subconscious limiting beliefs head on and take the path less traveled to hit reset. Stories that inspire you to take the leap to pursue the passions, dreams, and goals of your inner child and not the expectations of society. If you're new here, welcome. You found your people. I'm your host, Peter Goose, burnt out millennial turned human design and mindset coach. And it's now my mission to create a space to have the conversations out loud around millennial burnout and mindset and inspire and empower my fellow millennial besties to decondition from the programs that keep so many of us stuck and rediscover your most authentic identity. Or in other words, the millennial reset. And I'm so glad you're here. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Millennial Reset Podcast. Hey, got a question for you. Have you ever had those moments where you like suddenly remember once again what your 10-year-old self wanted to do when they grew up? But then, of course, what happened, right? We grow up, society tells us that it's not really an option. You can't do those things. And I feel like, at least for me, and I think some of you might be able to resonate too, is like we've forgotten about the most authentic inner child versions of ourselves because we get so caught up in the expectations from society. But my guest on today, so excited to have Deanna Garrett, who has taken back the dreams of her inner child and is now a U.S. figure skater. Deanna, welcome to the Millennial Reset Podcast, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Peter, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I am excited to share your story because it's just so inspiring and amazing. But before we dive into your full story, Deanna, the Millennial Reset is all about redefining success and happiness and stepping back into a more authentic identity. So question for you, my friend, what is the favorite part of your identity today?
I've got to say that being a figure skater has really shaped me these last few years. I've always been an athletic person. I've always been on the move. And so for me, being able to get back into my nostalgic roots of being a competitor and making friends with everyone that I'm interacting with at those competitions, that's probably the biggest thing that has been my saving grace these last few years for me.
I love that. But life wasn't always this way though, right? Because we were talking earlier about before you got back into figure skating and part of your, you know, kind of millennial burnout story of several years ago. So let's start there. Maybe take us back, let's say, I don't know, 7 years or whatever it may be, where you began to kind of hit that brick wall of burnout and realize that you wanted to kind of make a change.
Yeah. So I work in corporate America. I was in my first job that I had really had since coming out of college. And I just felt like I was not being utilized to my fullest potential. And I wanted to really make a difference. And so all of the energy that I was putting into work was not being given back. And I just really wanted to find something that I could be passionate about again. Mm-hmm. So I had to start looking externally because I wasn't being validated at work. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things for me is I want to feel valued. And and so I would start by getting into CrossFit and trying to, you know, build myself through that. I work out pretty often and I was like, CrossFit sounds like a good fit, maybe. And after, I want to say 2 years of doing that, I realized that it was not a sustainable lifestyle for your body. The amount of weight that you're lifting and throwing around, quite literally, could potentially damage you in the long run. And so I was looking for longevity and being able to stay active even into my 70s, 80s. And then this wonderful little anime came on. Some people may know it. It's called Yuri on Ice, and it's by the wonderful Kubo Sensei. And I got to meet her when she came to Dallas for Anime Fest in 2017. And that was the year that I started figure skating. I found figure skating through this anime. It reminded me of that time with, you know, watching the Olympics and seeing Michelle Kwan in her beautiful, beautiful extensions and beautiful spins.
Kwan, our queen. I think we've forgotten about her, but Kwan used to be the millennial queen back then. Yes.
She was. And so after watching this anime and wondering, do they teach adults how to figure skate, and getting the answer back of yes, they do, I knew immediately that that was going to be the thing that I wanted to sink my teeth into.
Yeah. So it was an anime that lit the fire for you.
Yes. As they say in the anime, I was born to make history by becoming an adult figure skater.
Ooh, I like that. Oh my gosh, I just love your story so much. And one of the things that you talked about too was that that kind of reignited that memory for you too of growing up, and even the first time of you putting on skates as a girl, but living in, you know, a small town where it wasn't really an option for you to have that as like a passion or a hobby at the time. Talk to us a little bit about that, like that going back in your memory to that time of like that, you know, inner child version of you and remembering just how much you actually used to like and love figure skating back then.
Right. So as a kid, I, you know, again, I could only watch it on TV, but we got to go on a field trip to the Galleria Mall, and inside the Galleria Mall is a figure skating rink, and I got to put on that my first pair of skates, those rental skates, those terrible rental skates, and I was just going, wow, this is so fun. It's so hard, and it's like and nothing like roller skating, but this is so much fun. You get to go so fast. Don't know how to stop, but we'll bounce. And just watching the kids being taught by their coaches, I really wanted to be one of those kids. I really wanted to be a figure skating girl, but you know, at small town USA, you get to pick and choose everything except for what's around you, right? And so I did get the opportunity to try my hand at many sports. And as I said, I've always been an athlete, and I'm thankful for what I had growing up, but I'm really glad that I was able to reconnect with little Deanna and live a dream that I didn't think was possible.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. Like, we grow up, and not only does society and our parents and the education system tell us like, oh, hey, you say that you want to be this when you grow up, but it's not really an option, so you're gonna have to pick from this list of things instead. But I think what you're talking about here too is, yeah, especially for those of us that I'm the similar to you, I grew up in a smaller town where options like that to be able to, you know, join a swim team or to join a skate team didn't exist for us. And so it almost kind of gets like lodged in the deep subconscious parts of our brain that says, okay, not an option, move on from that and move on to what's next or whatever the other options there for you. But then, yeah, what I just love about your story is that something in your life later down the line triggers that inner child memory, and everything just comes right back up to the surface again. And it's like, I would imagine for you that it was like, that was one of those moments where it was like, okay, well, fuck it all. I'm doing this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh. So let's talk a little bit about this whole journey of getting into figure skating, right? So you got in, and I think you said this was back in what, 2017, 2018 that you first started?
2017, January 7th, 2017. It
So,
was my first lesson.
yeah, walk us through that day. Walking into the ice, you're doing your first lesson with this kind of big dream in the back of your mind of like, I really want to go for this. But what was that first day like? And what were some of the beliefs that popped up for you? What were the narratives that were running through your mind?
So, you go in. You say, hey, I'm here for my lesson. They hand you a pair of rental skates and I laced them up and I went, wow, these don't feel right, but we're starting out. This is gonna be a great experience. And you go out, the coach that's with you in the group of I believe there were 10 other adults with me, and she's like, all right, so now we're going to march in place. You put your arms out in front of you and try to hit your knees with your toe, hit your hands with your knees. Sorry. We'll get there. So she tells us, hit your knees to your hands and try to march in place. That's how we want to try to first get on the ice. And so we go from the floor to the ice. And from there, we're learning how to do swizzles, and it's all very basic stuff. We're learning how to do swizzles, and we're learning how to stop, and we're learning how to wiggle backwards. We're not yet ready to skate backwards, but we are wiggling backwards. And honestly, wiggling backwards was the hardest thing for me to learn. I had to spend many a lunch break on the public ice trying to go around backwards because I could not figure out how to get the movement to happen like you can going forwards. And now, what's funny is moving backwards is way easier than moving forwards.
Oh, really?
Sounds counterintuitive, but I promise, after about 3 months on the ice, you'll figure out pretty quick that moving forward is more challenging.
I wouldn't know because it doesn't matter what direction I go in. I just end up falling on my ass, but I'll get there one day. I'll practice my wiggles.
There you go.
But you mentioned this, and I think this is so true for so many of us of millennials being like the perfectionist personality,
Oh,
right? Like the type
absolutely.
A, we're our harshest critic. Talk about like how that showed up for you on the ice at first.
Oh, so it's you got to be good at everything first try, and if you're not, then you're useless. And so, you're battling all of that negative self-talk going, well, you look like adult skater. You look like Bambi out on the ice, trying ankles shaking, knees quaking, and you look like you're about to go down. And it's the wonderful thing about figure skating is that there's an adrenaline rush, right? So you get to feel that thrill as you're out on the ice. If you're going fast, suddenly that negative self-talk kind of melts away and kind of goes away into the back, and you're able to just kind of, it's between you, your blades, and the ice, and you get to feel the wind through your hair, and you're able to forget about the things that are happening off the ice while you're on the ice. It's therapeutic in a way. Not a substitute for therapy, right? But it is therapeutic just to be out there and connecting with your body and figuring out how to complete these skills on maybe 3 millimeters of sharpened metal.
Yeah. It's, I haven't really thought about that before, but like, I think, you know, for me, you mentioned CrossFit before, and I just got into like this new like F45 workout stuff recently. But even with something like that, or any passion, or something that really kind of ignites your inner soul, right, is like when you get into those flow moments, everything else just falls apart. All the stress, all the anxiety.
Absolutely.
It seems like it just, yeah, at least for that moment in time, just falls to the ground. And it's like if you can just, it's almost... It's like, again, it's not a substitute for therapy, but I always want to tell people, it's like, if you can just find something that ignites you inside, whatever that may be, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. For me, like, I remember, like, during quarantine, it was like, I freaking love doing puzzles. And it, like, it became the thing that, like, got me into the flow, and the stress and the anxiety fell away. So, yeah, I can only imagine what that's like when you combine it with the adrenaline of being on the ice and doing something that requires that much focus and attention.
And it's wonderful, because you could be having a really bad day, and then as soon as you get on the ice, it's, all right, if I am not paying attention to what I'm doing, I'm going to go down. And doesn't could be a jump, could be a spin, it could be the moves that you're practicing. We call the pretty footwork that you see all of the elite skaters doing, they're called moves in the field. So these are all your little these are all your three turns, your rockers, your brackets, your Choctaws, your Mohawks, etc., etc. And I don't know why they're called I don't know why they're called Choctaws and Mohawks. That's just the terminology that we have been presented with since the inception, I believe. But three turns and brackets actually look like a little three and a bracket on the ice when you finish doing it. They come from the figure. The names come from the figures.
Oh, wow.
Figure skaters used to have to test.
The more you know.
The more you know.
But obviously, I'm sure that you probably had, I mean, never though, right? You have at some point in time fell down. And
oh, yeah.
I freaking love
what I have a scar.
Oh, gosh. That could be a whole other episode. But you talk about this whole idea of being gentle, and it's something that I struggle with, and as many millennials that I've talked to throughout the years, and even friends of mine, it's like, we all have that struggle with ourselves of like, why can we not just be a little bit more gentle? What did you learn from this experience of stepping into this passion in figure skating that allowed you to be more gentle with yourself?
Well, first off, it's figure skating is gentle. It's you can't force it. And my bad habit is that I'm constantly forcing things. I'm holding on to that control in a death grip. And in order to perform and make these moves, these spins, these jumps look as effortless as anyone who's really practiced at it, it's about letting go and trusting yourself, trusting that your body knows where to go, trusting that even if you do fall, you know, it's, you can still get back up, right? It's it's not going to be detrimental to you if you do fall, and it's okay to fail, because the only way to get better is to fail. And one of my previous coaches, she said, it takes 1,000 falls to get your axel. And the axel is probably the most coveted jump of a lot of figure skaters, because it is the hardest jump of figure skating, because it is a it is a half, an extra half rotation.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about triple axles and quad axles, that's 3.5 rotations. That's 4.5 rotations. Ooh. So it boggles the mind that you can jump high enough,
yeah,
and rotate fast enough to get that much rotation,
yeah,
to get that much rotation in the air before mm-hmm. landing, and then landing cleanly.
Yeah, but like you said, when you what was it? If you just trust your body, that your body knows what to do, and mm-hmm. then let everything else follow from there. And I'm like, hot damn, if we could just take that theory to other areas of our life of just like, trust that your body has got you, trust that mm-hmm. your body knows what to do next, and then just lean into it without getting so stuck in the thoughts and the destructive minds that happen up here.
Yeah. It's an exercise in letting go.
Yes. Letting go and being gentle. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the questions on everybody's mind, including mine, is now, you know, you're still working full time in a corporate role, right? It's not like you're quitting your job and doing this full time. This is a passion right. that's happening on the side. But one of the questions that I'm sure everybody is wondering is like, where do you find the energy? And with that, how do you not get burnt out again when you're working full time and doing this? So talk us through maybe like, what does a typical day in the life look like for you? And how do you create enough balance for yourself that, you know, you don't get back into that burnout state?
For me, I accidentally burned myself out last year doing figure skating because I went all in and tried to do 6 days a week of getting up at 5:15 in the morning. And I wasn't sleeping properly. I was going to bed at 10, 11 o'clock at night. So this year, I think I found the happy medium, right? So mm-hmm. it's, you know, 2 days out of the work week, I'm getting up early, 5:15 or 6 o'clock, depending.
Yeah.
And the nights before that I'm getting up those days, I'm going to bed at 9:30
yeah.
at the latest. Hopefully, usually we're trying to, you know, no later than 10:30, but definitely trying to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep those mm-hmm. nights before going out on the ice. Then I work my 8-hour work day, and then I come home, I game a little, I, you know, make dinner, I try to relax as much as I can, and then wake up, do it all over again.
Yeah. I love it. I'm going to throw this one at you as well. What is it then when you think about like figure skating, and you've given so much of yourself to figure skating, you've put in the hours of practice. To end things here today, I want to ask you, what does figure skating give back to you that you didn't have before?
Figure skating gives me a new kind of confidence. I always thought that I wanted to be the center of attention all the time. Mm-hmm. In previous sports, I, you know, wanted to be front and center all the yeah. time. And figure skating humbles you. Because you realize, oh wait, I remember I have stage fright.
Yeah.
it's very delayed, and I realize, yeah. like, wait a minute, I have a bit of stage fright. Because it's just you, and then yeah. your audience is watching you, and then you've got the judging panel, and so it's about learning how to be vulnerable. And it's given Ooh. Me that ability to be vulnerable and express myself in a way that I hope connects with other people.
Yeah.
It challenges me every day. So it's really an all-encompassing sport, right?
Yeah.
It's given me friends. It's given me heartache. It's given me good lessons that I needed to know. And it's helping me grow as a person.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, if nothing else, for the story to be able to resonate with somebody else. And I think that's exactly what this story is going to do, because, you know, myself included, I think so many of us get into that place in our 30s, maybe even 40s, where we're like, it's too late to pick up something new now.
And it's never too late. I want to say it's never too late. We, no matter how old you are, we have a 65-year-old in adult champ that went to adult nationals, and I believe she plays second. But last year she won the whole thing. So
really, wow,
really. So figure skating is it's a longevity sport. You know, you can keep doing it for as long as your body will allow you. Because it may be a little high impact depending on if you're doing doubles or not, but you know, it's ice dance is an option.
Mm-hmm.
And doing ice dance, for the uninitiated, ice dance looks maybe boring, but if for someone who I've gained an appreciation for ice dance over the last few years, because I realize how hard footwork is to do, and the fact that they do it so flawlessly. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this sounds more up my alley. Maybe I should start with that.
It's for everyone, honestly.
Okay.
And you all start small, right?
Yeah.
You start with little swizzles and little butt wiggles.
That's all I need, just a swizzle and a wiggle.
Exactly.
Well, Dieta, I just love your story. I think it's such a great reminder again that, it's never too late. It's never too late to discover or even rediscover a passion or hobby that maybe you've forgotten about from your childhood, or even if not, just to be able to say, you know what, I'm in my 30s and I'm picking up a new passion and I don't care what anybody else thinks. Like, that is inspiring. So, Dieta, thank you for sharing your story. Tell everybody where
they
can find out more.
Me.
Yeah, tell them where they can find you on I think YouTube. I was stalking some of your YouTube videos as well earlier, which are beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So I'm on YouTube at DRG Skates, and I'm also on TikTok under the same name.
Awesome.
Sweet. Thank you for having me. I've been super excited to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely post that when we post the podcast as well. But again, Dieta, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And thank you all for listening in to another episode of the Millennial Reset Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to visit www.themillennialreset.com. Share out with your millennials far and wide so that, again, we can spread the word that it is never too late to hit reset. We'll see you next time. Hey besties, if you're one of the millions of millennials feeling stuck in a constant state of stress and burnout, then number one, you're not alone. And number two, there is a way out. Be sure to check out www.themillennialreset.com for free online workshops, or you can become a member and join a community of support to learn a better way out of burnout.